Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Before we get into our talk today, which is on staying centered in difficult times, talking about using that power of transformation that we have within us, which is a miracle-working power, we'll discuss how that works exactly in a moment. But I want to thank Scott for not only being our platformer today, but for giving me this beautiful boutonniere. He did a wedding yesterday and brought this today, and it perfectly matches my tie, so it's a really nice thing. So thank you. I'm enjoying wearing it. You know, Jesus said in John 16:33, famous words, he said, "In the world there is tribulation." Right? In the world, there's difficulty. And this is true. We have to own up to the fact that life can be problematic. Life is tough sometimes. There's difficulty. And in order to overcome it, you can't overcome it by denying it. Though sometimes in Unity, we would like to, wouldn't we? We'd like to say, oh no, it's all sweetness and light. But sometimes that doesn't ring true within us. We want to be able to acknowledge that there are tough times. Yeah, in the world, there is tribulation. And yet, have you noticed this, that even when there's tribulation, the sun continues to shine, yes? You can be going through the most devastating tragedy, grief, whatever, but the sun's still shining. And this is part and parcel of a human experience, is no matter how bad it gets, God is always shining as light, right? I love the psalmist, the darkness is as light to you, right? Even in the darkness, God can shine a light if we allow that presence to be there for us. See, what do you prefer, to inhale or to exhale? Now, if you say, well, no, I love to take in stuff, it's beautiful to inhale, what happens? You're going to die. Yeah, you're going to pass out. And the same way, oh, no, I love to release. It feels so good to let it go. Likewise, you're going to die because you have to both inhale and exhale. It's not one or the other, is it? It's both and. And in this world, there is tribulation, but there is still the possibility for transformation because Jesus didn't end this scripture right there on tribulation. I'll tell you what he said in a moment. You remember what the great novel, Tale of Two Cities, about the French Revolution, the famous opening sentence. Anybody recall it? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And this is true. You know, I think every day is the best of times and the worst of times, depending on the way we look at it. Sometimes we can be impacted with all kinds of difficulty, and it's the worst of times, and yet it's also got that seed of possibility within it that helps us move beyond those difficult times. I cannot do that until I can acknowledge it's both and, like my in-breath and my exhale, it's both and, right? The joy is intermingled with the sorrow, right? The light with the darkness. And it can be, you know, personal difficulties. It can be a job, a relationship, health challenges, or it can be societal stuff. I mean, we're thinking a lot about Ebola right now, aren't we? Because number one, it's local. And number two, we get bombarded by the media about it. And it's easy to go into blowing things out of proportion. See, that's another thing about dealing with difficulty, is sometimes we begin to catastrophize about things, or awfulize, as they say. Anybody like to awfulize around here? Know what I'm saying? Oh my God, we're all going to die. Well, yes, we are. So we may as well laugh about it, right? We're not going to die all of a sudden in a terrible circumstance. We're going to die in perfect divine order. That's our affirmation. Yes, we are going to leave this planet on that sense, but we're not going to do it in panic mode. We choose not to. We are centered and poised in the Christ spirit. And so, you know, I tend to catastrophize things sometimes, and I realize I don't have to go there. You know, there's a higher way of dealing with this stuff. Because Jesus said this, in the world there is tribulation. Then he went on to say, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, right? And let's see, what is he meaning? Who is this I that's overcome the world? Is it Jesus himself? What do you think? You think he meant we, so he's talking about the cosmic I am. This idea of the truth within us overcomes the world, right? Jesus is the way shower, so yes, he overcame it, but he invites us to do the same, that there is a way of living and acting and feeling and being that overcomes the world. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Be of good cheer, you know, to be encouraged. I've overcome the world. There is more going on than this. Oh, bless you. In the world, there is tribulation. It's true. If I don't get fed in the next 2 seconds, there's tribulation. But be of good cheer. Milk is coming. Totally threw me off. Where was I? Yeah, the I am. You know, it's the encouragement to embody the same understanding that Jesus had. It's not to follow him blindly. It's to follow his teachings that show us how to live this embodied life, to be embodied in the, intermingled in the physical, but not limited to it, so that we can use the inherent power. See, we have the power within us to transform situations. This is the message. The overcoming power of spirit within us. Yeah. The Buddha said very, very similar things. If Jesus said in the world you have tribulation, the Buddha said life is suffering. Life is unsatisfactory, right? It's the same idea, isn't it? And then that was the first noble truth. But the Buddha, like Jesus, gave us other teachings that showed us how to get beyond that difficulty, right? And the Buddha's main teaching is that we are in suffering because we cling to stuff. We become attached to things. We begin to buy into the fact that, oh my goodness, it's never going to change. It's always going to be this way. But there's a great saying in the Bible, it came to pass. And we use it in many different ways, but a powerful way is it literally came to pass. It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. So it arrived and it's going. Everything is part of that flow. It's only a problem if we cling. Right? Cling either to the bad stuff or even to the good stuff, hoping that I can hold on to it. What have you noticed when you cling to something? It's like holding on to the in-breath. You smother it. You kill it. Yeah. The part of the success in life is releasing the clinging, releasing, holding tight onto something. So let's look at five ways that we can stay centered in difficult times. I offer five things, but there will be no pop quiz today, okay? I don't want you to have to worry about it. Like we said at 9:30, you can relax now. I'm not going to be tested at the end. You like the pop quiz. Pop quiz will be back next week. Number one, in terms of staying centered in difficult times, we have to, don't we, accept the tribulation. You know, you can't be in denial about it. You've got to own up to the fact that something's going on here. I'm not feeling good. I'm fearing this. I've got some problems. I've got some difficulties here. I want to be honest about it. Not to wallow in it, but to acknowledge it with honesty. I think that's hugely important. Because what happens if we try and sweep it under the carpet, deny it? It's not going away, yeah? It's still going to come to us. It has to be acknowledged. There has to be that openness towards it, yes, in order for us to deal with it successfully. Jesus didn't say, oh, well, there's not really tribulation. No, he said, in the world, there is tribulation. He wouldn't have said it that way if he didn't mean for us to look at it closely, right, to see it for what it is. And it can be from one level to the other. It can be from tremendous grief down to just petty frustrations, but we still have to be honest about it and look at it. I want to share something that was a great story, teaching story for me this week, and that is we went to Houston to go to the conference down to the Unity of Houston, had a great time. And I told Wendy the night before, I said, we have to leave at 10 o'clock. We have to leave at 10 o'clock. Now, Wendy doesn't really follow time in the horrible Germanic way that I do, you know, that it has to be a certain time, you know. She's much more fluid and open. So 10:30 comes around, okay? I'm getting a little antsy here because I have to be at a board meeting by 4. Okay, we finally leave at 5 to 11. And we're supposed to be leaving at 10 o'clock.
o'clock.
So I'm a little frustrated, but I've been on the spiritual path for 40 years, so I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get angry, but I'm still going to try and make my feelings known. So I said, I'm really upset. I don't think we're going to make it on time now. You know, I'm really not feeling too good right now. And she was totally silent, which, of course, makes you even more upset, doesn't it? But then I had this brilliant breakthrough. I thought, I'm going to ask her, can you see it from my point of view? And she said, yes. And that's all it took. Then I was able to release the whole thing. Because all I wanted was validation, right? I wanted the fact that my feelings were real in some way. That though that pain, that difficulty was not to be ignored or denied. It was real. And sometimes that's all we need is a validation of that. And then we had a good day. Because, you know, I didn't want to ruin the whole day with my anger or frustration. No, it gets better. It gets better. We're in Waxahachie, right? And we get some emails coming in saying there's been some weather, and so most of the planes are delayed bringing in the board, so we can't have a board meeting anyway at 4 o'clock. So then I turn to Wendy, and she looks at me with that. Hate that. In the meantime, we got a ticket on the way to Waxahachie because... And I swear I wasn't going that fast. I swear. Oh, it was a great day of learning, man. A great day. And that's what I call staying centered in difficult times. I did good, didn't I? Thank you. Yeah, thumbs up from Wendy. There we go. That's an inconsequential thing, but it's frustrating. But it illustrates the same point we're making, and that is denying it, not being real about it, trying to overcome it before you can move through it is not helpful, right? But then also to laugh about it as soon as you can. Because I was really laughing after that cop left us. I was really laughing. And I think he saw the clergy sticker on my car. And he wanted to let me off, but he said, I have to be fair to everybody, sir. You know I have to do this. And I thought, oh, well. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Number one, accept the tribulation, right? Accept the tribulation. Work with it. Be honest about it. Allow it to be there. But you don't want to let it go out of control. You don't want to catastrophize about it. And you want to move through it as quickly as you can by, number two, remembering who you are. You are spirit commingled in matter, yeah? And listen to Jesus in the paragraphs before the passage, the quote we just used, because it's powerful stuff. It's a little hard to get exactly what he's saying because he's saying so much, but I think it fits in with what we've just been talking about. He said, a little while, you'll see me no more. Again, a little while, you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by this? A little while and you'll not see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. And by this, because I'm going to the Father. So they asked, what is this all about, this little while that he's talking about? We do not know what he means. Jesus knew that they were wanting to question him and said, are you discussing that saying of mine? A little while and you'll see me no more, and again a little while and you will see me. In very truth, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will be glad. But though you will be plunged in grief, your grief will be turned to joy. See, it's that both and thing here. A woman in labor is in pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish in her joy that a child has been born into the world. This is our work, folks. We are birthing this new understanding, this new compassionate nature that we are, right? And it seems like we're going through pain, but we're going through the pain in order to experience the joy. You cannot have the one without the other. He says, so it is with you. For a moment you're sad, but I shall see you again, and then you'll be joyful, and no one shall rob you of your joy. When that day comes, you will ask me nothing. You will ask me, listen to this, you will ask me nothing more. In very truth, I tell you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. So far, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be complete. I mean, saying a lot there. But what he's saying to me is, I'm here now, but I'm going away. I'm coming back in a different form, right? I'm going as Jesus. I'm coming back as a recognition of spirit of the Christ. I want you to cleave closely to spirit and not to me, right? Because as long as I'm in the picture, I can get in the way. I don't want to get in the way anymore. I want you to have direct connection to spirit. Does this make sense? It's not. And if for 2,000 years we've misunderstood this, we think it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the way shower, but Jesus wants us to follow the way, right? And the way is spirit. The way is not just about Jesus. The way is about what Jesus embodied. The spirit that was in Jesus is now in us. And that's how we get full joy, see? To remember who we are. We are not just adopted by, we are actually the very Spirit of God in action. We have the power to transform. See, just as Jesus did. What happens, folks, when we take on all the so-called sins of this world, the darkness, as in Tonglen, and we transform it through that power within us? What happens? We are a source of peace. We give light to the world. It's called resurrection, right? We have the power to resurrect. We have the power to take all the darkness and transform it. What do you think of this Tonglen thing, by the way? It's counterintuitive, isn't it? We fear taking on all the dark. But I love the idea that the darkness can be transformed. In my visualizations, I see all that darkness, really dark, heavy, smoky air transformed into clarity. It seems to go clear immediately, and it goes forth. What did you notice? Have any experience in that Tonglen flow?
It made me feel lighter.
Did it? Lighter. Right. So you took it all on, took it all in. Ever seen those ads on television where there's this really dirty water and then you have a few drops of that magical cleaning solution and it's all dark and grimy, the drops go in, whoa, it's pure again. That's the power we're talking about. That's the power of spirit can transform even the darkest things into that light, into that clarity, right? So if the first thing is to acknowledge our difficulties, the second thing is to remember that we are not victims of that, yes? That we have the power deep within us to transform. Jesus is not going to say it's through him. He's saying it's through the spirit that is in Jesus that's now in you, this transformative power and possibility, yeah? Number three, he says ask. But don't necessarily ask through him. Go directly in his name. What's his name? The Christ. The essence of Jesus is the Christ. So ask in the name and nature of the Christ, right? Which is the truth of you. Ask not in a pleading way, but ask knowing that this is yours to claim, right? That this is my expansive good and I'm going to claim it right now. Yeah? There's two kinds of asking. Asking from lack and asking from a recognition of more expansive good to come through me, right? And that's the idea of Tonglen. I have it within me to give forth this light. And he says, till now I've been using figures of speech. A time is coming when I shall no longer use figures, but tell you of the Father in plain words. When that day comes, you will make your request in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray to the Father for you. Listen to that. I do not say that I shall pray to the Father for you, for the Father loves you himself. Because you have loved me and believed that I came from God, I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world again and going to the Father. So now it is up to you to do it, to do the things that I've done. I'm empowering you. I'm equipping you. His disciples said, and they get it all wrong, he says, now you are speaking plainly, not in figures of speech. We are certain now that you know everything and do not need to be asked. Because of this, we believe that you have come from God. They're still trying to put it off on Jesus. And he's trying to put it off to them. Yeah? And he said, Jesus answered, do you now believe? I warn you, the hour is coming, has indeed already come, when you are to be scattered, each to his own home, leaving me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that in me you may find peace. In the world there is tribulation, but take heart, I have conquered the world. This is an important point. It's the idea that we are equipped and empowered right here in our hearts to let this truth express, right? And it comes to us when we are honest about our humanness and our difficulty, but then also honest about the power that God has given us. And Jesus points to it. Jesus says, this is it. This is the point of power within you, right? It is transformative. It can take darkness and turn it into light. It can take all kinds of difficulty and transform it into possibility. And the tongue gland technique is a wonderful, easy way to do it, to ride that breath, to allow that flow to happen. And if anybody says, well, I'm not equipped to do this, I don't know how to deal with Ebola, I don't know how to deal with all the suffering and pain in my life, none of that is true, is it? Because we've been equipped, we've been given power to transform. Listen, there is a linear path, isn't there, that we traverse every day, yeah? The horizontal of our lives. But at any moment, what is there? There is the vertical, yeah? And where those two come together is that beautiful still point of the turning world. Guess what it is? It's right here, right? It's in the middle of where we are. It's at the center of our being. It's where the breath rests. In that moment between inhaling the dark and sending out the light is the still point of transformation. And it's that point there, the point of the Christ, that can turn anything from difficulty to joy, from overwhelm to possibility, to resource, to capability. That's the place. It's that still point of the turning world. So that brings me to the fifth point. I'm not going to ask you what the first four was because there is no pop quiz. Fifth point is, this is the place of our deepest resource, folks. It's the compassionate heart, right? Listen to what Lama Zopa Rinpoche said, great Tibetan Buddhist teacher. He said, compassion is a wish-granting jewel fulfilling all our ultimate desires. Isn't that beautiful? Compassion is a wish-granting jewel, a jewel of great price, like the pearl of great price that Jesus talked about, fulfilling all our ultimate desires. What you could possibly imagine is good for you, that you want in your life, is already present as a seed of possibility, as a jewel within your own heart, right? And to claim it, to receive it, what do? In order to receive it, this is the counterintuitive thing. Give it away. Give it away, right? In order to have more compassion, give more compassion. In order to have more love in your life, give more love. What did Jesus say? Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. That's giving it all, isn't it? But what's the guarantee? When you give it all, you receive it all, right? In the moment of crucifixion is resurrection. That willingness to be present to the difficulty is the guarantee you will be present to the joy and the solution. Yeah? But we're so scared of that. We're so scared of actualizing and releasing that good. But really, that's the only way to go, is to be that compassionate heart. Give it in whatever way we can. So which way are you going to give it? Let's end this particular talk, staying centered in difficult times. Are you going to give it away? What are you going to do this week? Give it away. You're going to give it away joyously. Good. Whatever it is you're giving. I don't know what you're giving, but she's going to give it joyously. Okay, but you're going to be willing. Is that what you're saying? Good. I'm willing. Okay. Not resist it, but allow. I'm going to allow to feel what I feel. I'm not going to dwell in it. What else? Help your friends. Good. How many people are going to sign up for one of the volunteer slots? How about that? Good, yeah. That's a way to do it. You know, I'm doing it by smiling at everybody and really being grateful for all the people that are here. That's one of the things that makes my week, is just talking with people and saying hello to people, passing in the hall. It's just great to make connection with all the wonderful people that we have in our community. That's giving it away, and I receive so much from that. Being a channel of gratitude, so you're willing to let it flow. Yeah, okay, very good. Because sometimes it'll pass by. We'll have that nice thought, but we won't do anything about it. So I'm going to remember to actually verbalize it, right, to share that. Right. In the middle of everything, right? That's the thing. Remember this. It's this place is at the meeting point of the dark and the light. It's at the meeting point of the difficult and the transformative. It's not somewhere else. It's right there where the inhale and the exhale come together, where the sadness and the joy dwell together, because that's the moment where it's real. That's the moment where it makes a difference, where we feel that transformative power. And let's remember that everything, folks, is in divine order. I know this from long experience that, you know, it doesn't matter if we're late going somewhere. When we get there, it'll be in the right and perfect time. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.com. And make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.